and welcome back to The Growing Revolution. I'm Eric Olson with Smart Pot Fabric Planters, and this week our guest is Ryan Cook, who is a state record-holding veggie grower, an Armed Forces veteran and advocate, budding social media influencer, and a fan of Smart Pot growing containers. So, Ryan, welcome to our podcast.
Hey, thank you for having me, Eric. This is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, definitely. We've talked a few times before, and we've got a lot of like-minded interests, so I'm looking forward to this interview. So can you introduce yourself, where you're from, and maybe your life's journey up until you started the Heavenly Hills Homesteading channel?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, like you said, my name is Ryan Cook, and I was born and raised right here in West Virginia. I went to the Army at, signed it at 17, left 2 days after my birthday, my 18th birthday, for boot camp. Did a tour in Iraq. I actually reenlisted in Iraq for another 6 years, and ended up getting put out medically. So, you can only get busted up so much before you're of no good to Uncle Sam anymore, right? And out you go. So anyhow, that's what happened. And when I got home, even while I was still in the military, when we got back from Iraq, there was this need to feel important again, there was a void there, right? And I never really understood why there was that void. A lot of veterans are that way. They get back from Iraq and there's a void there, whether it's adrenaline that they're seeking, or it's the need to feel important again, or that they matter, whatever it is. And so, whenever I got out in 2006, I think it was April of 2006, I kind of had to find myself again, right? And learn who I really was. Cause I went in at 18, I went to military school at 16, and kind of been around that military life from that point on. And so I was 21 and I was trying to figure out who I was and what life was about. Cause I'm used to everything being at the touch of my hand, right? I mean, I had a place to stay all the time, place to eat all the time. That's the good thing about being in the military. You got a roof over your head and food in your belly. So, I was trying to figure all that out and it got to a point in life where I was just like, I'm not happy with any of this stuff I'm doing. And so I kind of remembered, back to whenever I would be around my grandfathers or my dad who was avid gardeners. And I was like, this is in 2008. And I'm like, I wonder if I grow a garden, if that would somehow help. Right. And so, spring of 2009 comes and I plant my first garden and it's growing really good. And I've got abundance of food. Right. So I'm taking it to work and I'm like, here, you can have this. And it gave me that sense of importance again. Right. It gave me a drive. And so I was like, okay, this is fun. I like this. And so then just over the years it evolved and, we ended up moving out here. We had a little place, about an hour and 15 minutes from here. It was on the side of a mountain. It was all rock. It was very, very hard to grow in. But I still grew every year there. But then whenever this place came available, I was like, look, it's way better than the side of that mountain. There's sun year round. I can do something here, right? And so we moved out here. We bought it in 2017, moved out here in 2018. I grew a small little garden that summer. I didn't start it till July. It did really good in the test plot that I put out there, which is where my actual garden is now. And so I had hope. Well, my wife was pregnant with our last child, and her water broke at 16 weeks. He was born at 27 weeks utero. We spent 5 months in the NICU from January of 2019 till May of 2019, and wow. He come home and he had a lot of problems and stuff. So I didn't plant a garden that year, but then in 2020, I started again. And by this time I had enough knowledge under my belt to grow a good garden, a big garden. And I had enough interest in different things that I wanted to try out. Now, I didn't just want to go to the nursery and buy stuff. I wanted to go and get the seeds and start them myself from whatever varieties I wanted, whether black creme or, orange peach or whatever it was. And so that's what I did. And it was a very, very, very successful season. I did try my first giant pumpkins that year. I bought the seeds off Amazon. Horrible idea. I don't recommend anybody do that unless you're happy with a 50-pound pumpkin. That's perfectly fine. But if you want an actual 200-300 pound or 1,000 pound like I grow, you probably need to get them from people like myself. And so, you know, I grew them. They were pitiful looking, but I still grew them and learned a lot that season that, you know, contributed to my success in 2021. And that is when I started the YouTube channel, was in 2021. I had done so good. Everybody loved the Facebook videos I was posting on my personal Facebook page that I thought, okay, if they're that interested in this, then obviously there's more people that's interested in this same stuff. And it was 2020. Everybody's locked down, can't go and get, you know, and they were wanting to garden. They were wanting to do something. They were bored. And so, and it just kind of bled over into 2021. I started my YouTube channel. The first video I made was of, well, videos that I made was of us building my little greenhouse out of an old trampoline frame and stuff. And that's where we're at now. So.
Nice. Cool. So, you've got a lot of West Virginia state records for, giant veggies, you know, length and weight. How did you get such a hunger for that? And then what do you credit your success in, getting those titles there?
So it was, you know, when I first started growing giants, it, you know, in 2021, it was fun. It seemed like the community was, really, at the time, wanted to, you know, help new growers and stuff. And so that year, I grew giant pumpkins, giant watermelon, giant tomatoes, and giant butternut squash. And I grew the world record giant butternut squash that year. It was 83 pounds, 1 ounce. There is a group called the GPC. The GPC is the Great Pumpkin Commonwealth or something like that. Anyhow, at the time, you had to go and take your records to a weigh-off in order for Guinness to acknowledge those records, because Guinness does not accept a conversion from imperial to metric. So I would have had to have weighed that butternut scale, or excuse me, I would have had to weigh that butternut on a metric scale. And so I didn't know that. I did everything that the GPC reps told me to do. I mean, verbatim, everything they said. I had everybody there that needed to be there. I did everything they asked. And so I you know, thought that I was going to get my Guinness World Record plaque, you know, my first year growing. And, instead of me getting it or any of the other guys that did take theirs to a GPC weigh-off that was bigger than the guy that actually got the record, they let a 65.5 pound butternut get the record over 70 pounders and my 83 pounder. Now I talked to Guinness and Guinness said, hey, if the GPC will write a letter to us stating that yours was an actual record, you know, we'll give it to you. And I wrote the GPC president and told him that. And he responded with, well, there's a lot of finger pointing and name blaming on Facebook right now, which had nothing to do with me. I wasn't doing anything. The giant growing community as a whole had seen what had happened and they were mad about it. So they were making posts about it, you know, because I got cheated and I wasn't saying anything. So, I was just sitting back and letting the,
it's a strong community, the giant growers. They take things seriously.
Serious. Yes. Yes. And so I was just letting them do their thing. I wasn't saying anything. And so that, because people were saying stuff, he would not do me that favor and write that letter for me to Guinness so that they would give me my record. And so, I didn't get that record, but that is where the drive come from, because it wasn't about the records to begin with. It was just about growing and having fun. Now it's about, pretty much just saying, you know, the heck with all of you,
you know, time to dominate.
Right. Right. And I'm, and I'm just going to do it any way I can. And so I started with state records and I plan to do, you know, national and world records, you know, because, you're not going to do that to me. Yeah. So that's where the drive.
That's where the drive comes from. So, like, what are you using, like, fertilizer wise? What are you using, you know, additive wise to create, you know, that environment for success with the Giants?
Okay. So, well, and I forgot, you know, this kind of goes all in one. You know, you said, what do I credit my success to? And you know, first of all, you know, I credit my success to God, you know, because without the good weather and rain and stuff, that ain't going to happen. The next thing that, you know, I credit to is having learned things from, you know, my dad and my grandpas. You know, they taught me a lot. Even though I didn't know it back then, I learned a lot from them. And then, you know, of course, my wife, she's a great person, you know, that stands by my side during all this stuff, because it does get a little bit crazy sometimes around here. But she does really, really well. You know, we have to take these things out of state, you know, to weigh them sometimes. And, you know, it's a lot of work. And she's right there by my side doing it. So I definitely give her a lot of credit. And then my sponsors, you know, you guys are great. You got, I've grown state records in Smart Pots now, plan to grow more. I'm hoping to grow a world record in the carrot, long carrot, and that one that y'all guys have made. So, you know, I really, you know, give my credit to all those things. And, you know, as far as the fertilizers go, you know, I'm using Prevagenix, primarily for my base, I guess you would say, right? They are what I feed all season long. Okay. Now I amend my soil with Bare Ground, solutions, which you can see the little banner over here on the door. That's who I amend the soil. That's what I amend the soil with in the spring. So I do my soil test. It comes back, tells me what I need to go in there. And so if it's anything, potassium, nitrogen, or phosphorus, you know, that's where that comes from. And then I use their fish emulsion as well to help with like my compost teas and things like that. And I use Prevagenix stuff to put my compost teas, and I use Extreme Gardening, for, you know, my other parts of my composting, my biologics, you know, like my mycos, my azos, and my lactobacillus and stuff. So all those things combined, you know, and then Drip Depot, you know, they got me hooked up with a really cool irrigation system and stuff. So, you know, all those things combined. I'm also working with Stan Lee. They got this brand out. I use Stan Lee alfalfa pellets in my amending. So I reached out to him last year, and I was like, hey, you know, I need like, two whole big pallets full of alfalfa pellets. And they were like, what? And I'm like, yeah, you know, and I explained it to them. They're like, oh, and then they were like, well, we also have these products we're coming out with from Native Earth. It's a sister company we have, and we'd like you to try them out and see what they do. And I grew the first state record rutabaga I grew last year, because I broke it by 3 ounces later on. But the first one I grew was grown with Stan Lee products. It was 31 pounds, 3.5 ounces, I think, is what it was. I mean, that rutabaga, I thought was going to encompass a 2x2 raised bed.
Yeah, so. I remember seeing a picture of that. That thing was huge. So kind of circling back to Smart Pots, what are your impressions of growing in Smart Pot containers now that you've had, you know, a little bit of opportunity to work with them?
I really like them, especially here. Like, all right, so I mean, you got metal raised beds, okay, and those are fine. But here's the problem here in West Virginia with metal raised beds: you get in the dead of summer and they don't breathe. They are hot, hot, hot. They cannot breathe. And here in West Virginia, if you want to be successful growing anything, you got to have that stuff breathe, because it's humid, it's super hot. And stuff just, you know, well, whenever I got those Smart Pots and started using, I think it was like around July, whenever I started using them. And you could tell that when those plants started coming up, they were not suffering for oxygen. They wasn't suffering for, you know, heat, you know, at the root zone, right? Like just like you would see in a raised bed or whatever. They were able to breathe. They were able to get circulation. They was able to get the heat out of them, right, out of the soil and stuff. So that right there was my first thing that I was like, okay, this is where I need to go. So when I want those late season cool crops, right, to be sufficient and not go down on me, because every year come July, August timeframe, my giant root crops that I'm still trying to grow and get bigger start to go down. And that's where the heat of the summer comes in. Now, I'm going to switch it totally up this year. I'm going to grow those cool season crops that I want to extend later into the season are going to be in the smart pots, because they'll be able to breathe. That oxygen exchange will be there, and the cooling will be there. There won't be such a heat buildup during the day, so it won't be affecting the root zone as bad. And the other thing that I like about them is if you get an excessive amount of rain and you have a metal raised bed, well, the dirt that's underneath there, it just kind of builds up. All you've done is extended your soil up. So it has no room to get it. Well, that's another reason why my root crops go down, is from hollow root rot because of too much rain, right? I don't have to worry about that with a smart pot. I can plant that in there in the smart pot. It'll leach all that water out and it'll start to dry out. So all the rain you want, that's fine. It can rain its butt off, but in a smart pot, I'll still be okay.
Yeah, so. Definitely. Now, what are some of the challenges that you face as a gardener in West Virginia that maybe like other folks, you know, might not be facing?
I would say, I know everybody has extreme weather changes, right? I mean, you talk to anybody and they'll say, oh yeah, you moved down here and, you know, and weather changes every 5 minutes. You know, I know you hear that a lot, but just right here in my little micro climate, right? Last year, I was seeing 50 degree temperature swings in a day.
Okay. That's a big swing.
That's a big swing. And so when you're seeing those really big swings like that, the effect that it has on the plants is tremendous. Gourds would not grow last year. Eggplants would not grow last year. There was several other things that just would not grow. I extended my cool season crops further than I've ever done, but you know, and I still struggled with them because of the heat of the day, but the cooling of the night, and it really, really had an effect on everything. So pumpkins, they didn't do too bad because the pumpkins kind of like a little bit cooler weather, right? But they don't like that cold. And so you could tell that it, when they were wanting to grow at nighttime, you know, and they were good hot days or hot nights rather, you would see them grow 40, 50 pounds in a night, right? But when it would swing back down, it couldn't grow. And the reason why it couldn't grow is the water that's going into there, I think it's at 62 degrees, I think is what it is. I think 62 degrees and up, that water is flowing really, really good. Anything under 62 degrees, it starts to congeal inside of the vine. And so then it cannot push the energy that it's wanting to into it. And so I had a lot of stem splits. I had a lot of cracking around that area and stuff because there's a lot of force being put there and it couldn't go in like it wanted to because it was too cold. Didn't matter how many blankets I put on there or anything. They just wouldn't stay warm enough. So I think, you know, as far as here where I'm at, the temperature has a huge play in it because we can be like last year, we would be 90 degree in the day and we would get way back down into, you know, the 40s at night. And that was just, it's not usual, but it can happen here. And so, you know, that's probably my hardest thing to fight.
Yeah. Now in watching like your videos and stuff, I see and hear your kids in there quite a bit. And you had kind of mentioned earlier that, you know, your grandpa and your dad had kind of, you know, taught you some of this gardening knowledge. Also, is that also encompassing like the homesteading knowledge? And also, are you learning from, you know, other books or friends or, you know, other social media influencers out there? Like, where are you getting your knowledge from?
So, yeah, the kids love being around, you know, and hanging out with me and stuff. And I enjoy them being around. You know, most of the time they're not paying attention, but you know, like
do homeschooling?
Yes. Yep.
Nice. We do too. So,
yeah, and I love it that way. You know, that I get to teach them what I want them to learn. You know, how I want them to learn, right? And each kid's different. You know, they don't all learn the same. And whenever you try to do it in a classroom, they all have to. That's going down another rabbit hole. But anyhow, you know, I didn't think I paid a lot of attention when I was around my dad and my grandpa's, right? But obviously, I learned quite a bit from them, and so I like them just hanging around me and stuff. You know, I still, you know, talk to my grandpa. I got one papa that's still alive, and so I talk to him a lot. That's where this golden pothos plant behind me here, that right there, he grew that. He grew that so I'd take it home. He was like, I'm going to give that to you. So anyhow, he's got a huge collection of horticultural books. And so I learn a lot from him. Dad is now learning from me, which is pretty cool, right? But nice. But I think there's a lot still to be learned from him, you know. So I still ask him questions and stuff on what he thinks about it and stuff. And you know, but I just reach out to people who I think has the answer. You know, sometimes you get it off of YouTube, sometimes you get it off Facebook, sometimes it's the old farmer down the road. You know, and so when I have a problem and I'm needing a solution to it, I just try to, you know, think, okay, who would know best about this problem? You know, if it's soil related, I try to figure that out. If it's, you know, dealing with, you know, some sort of, biologic like Mycos Azos or something like that, I reach out to Randall at Extreme or Travis Ginger, there's a handful of people that I deal with. I don't talk to a whole bunch, but, you know, I try to limit, you know, who I talk to. You can get to a point where you've got too many voices going, right? And that's certainly a bad thing. And, you know, then you're getting all these different ideas. Some of them contradict each other, and then you don't know what to do. So I go with, whoever's been the most consistent with their information, right? And if they're consistent with it, and everything I've done or close to everything I've done that they've told me to do has worked, then that's just who I go back to every time.
Yeah, it's not about what you know, it's about who you know. And if you know smart people, you could be a dummy and still be successful, right?
Exactly, exactly. Because I can tell you right now, I am not the smartest or the sharpest tool in the shed.
Me either. Well, it depends on what day you're talking to me at.
Right.
So one of my last questions here is, if you could make a pitch for, like, what is the biggest benefit of living a homesteading lifestyle to somebody who's living in the city in an apartment, who's never, you know, really been in the country or been exposed to that lifestyle, what would you say? Like, what, you know, what could they maybe be doing in the city that could help them, you know, just overall?
Right. So, you know, my biggest thing with them is your own personal health, right? Think of it as, you know, none of us want to die. You know, every time you turn around, we're all looking for a way to live longer, right? A way to extend it. And it's right in front of us. Grow your own food, right? Not only is it healthy for you because you're being physically active, not only is it healthy for you because you're eating the food that you grew and you know what's in it, right? And it's not sprayed with pesticides and all these other stuff, but it's mentally good for you, right? And if you're mentally happy and you're physically happy, right? Like everything's coinciding, then you have a chance to live a lot longer. And so that's kind of like my first pitch to them. Like, how long do you want to live? You know, now, that's not saying that you can't do these things in a urban setting, because there are a lot of people who homestead in an urban setting. And I would tell those people, do it the best way you can, whether that is, you know, going to these people and, you know, or putting up a whatever you call those things where you rip the number off at the post office. Can't think of it right now, but anyhow, you put a little flyer up and you got your number there and you can rip it off. And just say, hey, look, I'm looking for little plots of land that I can grow on and share the vegetables or the fruit with them, you know. And you'd be surprised how many people, elderly people especially, will reach out to you and say, hey, I've got a little piece of land that I don't mind you growing on. If you give me X amount of it out of it a week, you can come over here and do that, right? And they'll let you do it. So if you got an apartment, And that's all you got, you know, you can get these smart pots like I got set up here. They're in my house, right? And I've got it set up to where I can grow using smart pots in the house. And so you can do that too. I mean, don't ever limit yourself to, well, I only have an apartment, or I don't have the room or whatever. You can do it. If you really want to grow and you really want to learn how and homestead, you can do it. You just got to put your mind to it, and you got to figure out ways that suit your lifestyle and your living situation.
Yeah, that is such a good idea of just putting up an old school flyer at the post office looking for land. Because just like you said, there's tons of people who might not have the desire or ability to do gardening, but they got land. And right. if, you know, you're young and able, you can do that. And then it's a win-win situation. Right, that's, exactly. that's a great tip. Shoot. And that doesn't barely has to do with gardening. That's more networking. I right, love that. Right. tip. Love it. Ryan, how can people find you online and on social media?
So, Heavenly Hills Homestead on YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, and or X, and Facebook. That's where you can find me. It's got the you can't miss it. It's got the little West Virginia little symbol behind it and a bearded mountaineer with a big pumpkin there. That's the logo. So if you find that, you found the right one. So nice. I highly recommend everybody come over and check out what we're doing. We love helping people. You know, if you got questions, I try to answer every comment that I get. And we'd love to have you over there and part of our Heavenly Hills Homestead family.
Yeah, and you're also, I forgot to mention, you're part of our influencer team. And if people want to go to smartpots.com and get a 10% discount, your promo code is HHH, I believe, right?
Yes, sir.
With us?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Yep. Awesome. So check that out for all you guys who watch to the end here. Get a little discount. So on that note, Ryan, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. Always great talking to you and looking forward to working with you going forward.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you having me. It's been a lot of fun.
Awesome. Thank you so much.